This is Queer Voices.
Hello, this is Matthew Williams, and I want to talk to our listeners a little bit about a very, very interesting organization from the past. It, way back when, before, when I was, I don't even think I started school yet, after the deaths of Paul Broussard and Philip Smith as a result of a hate crimes, there was an organization created called the Q Patrol. It was an organization made of queer Houstonians determined to aid in security, aid in securing the safety of the LGBTQ community in the Montrose area. And joining us to talk about the formation of this organization is our very own member of the Queer Voices crew, Glenn Holt.
Hello.
So I want to thank Glenn for stepping on to the other side for an interview to talk about this, which I didn't even know. Didn't even know this organization existed. And then when I found it, I was like, yeah, I should find somebody to interview about this. And I was like, oh, well, look at that. Look at that right there. As a founder of the organization is one of our very own members. So, again, thank you, Mr. Glenn, Mr. Holt, for coming to talk to us a little bit about this organization that you were a part of the founding of. I want to start off with just, for those who don't even have never heard of this organization, could you give us a little overview of what it was?
Well, sure. Back in the bad old days when dinosaurs had wings, and we really are talking about in excess of 25 years ago, the public attitudes were a lot different back then. Back then, you had people who thought that it was okay to drive through the area that was kind of a gay mecca at the time, which was the Montrose, and do things like throw eggs or yell, faggot, stuff like that. Unfortunately, it got worse than that. Some people were hurt. Some people were killed. Now, the way all this started was back even before that, there was sort of a cultural shift starting to happen. And that's when you had the trendy shops along the lower Westheimer sort of got taken over by shops of less repute, more sexually oriented.
Okay.
And at the same time, lower Westheimer on a Saturday night would be clogged with what at the time we called cruisers, which is just people out driving, looking for entertainment out the window, because there was no internet back then. and television has always been poor. So, anyway. That's probably about the same time that the abuse started, because you had this concentration of homosexual people or questioning people, and you also had this concentration of teenagers coming in from the outskirts, looking for fun or looking for trouble. And that was kind of a hot, eclectic mix. When I was in college, and that was before the days of the dinosaurs.
In Houston?
No, this is actually up in Nacogdoches.
Okay.
I was doing a one-man, half-hour news magazine-type program.
Okay.
And back at that time, New York and maybe San Francisco had a group called the Guardian Angels. And the Guardian Angels heard about the problems in Houston and came here to see if they could form something, some kind of protective something like Now, the Guardian Angels, they were born out of the necessity of protecting people on the subways in New York. And they were kind of vigilante oriented. They came to Houston. They did not get along well with the police because of their sort of vigilante orientation. Interestingly enough, their leader, Curtis Sliwa, was here, and I got to interview him for my program.
Okay.
That was probably 2, 3, 4 years before the events where Q Patrol started to get formed.
Okay.
After a period of time, then the Montrose Patrol came along. That was just a regular citizens' watch patrol. Mm-hmm. They were trying to prevent all kinds of crime. And they patrolled more on the other side of Westheimer than the area that in Q Patrol we came to call the Magic Kingdom, which is where sort of the bars are. And they patrolled there maybe 2, 3, 4 years, on and off. They formed, fell apart. And then when the AIDS crisis happened, or came along, became more visible, ACT UP happened. Well, ACT UP formed a splinter group. ACT UP Houston, or the ACT UP Houston tribe, formed a splinter group to take up where the Guardian Angels and the Montrose Patrol left off. And they formed the first Q Patrol. Doing internet searches in the years since, we discovered that there were Q Patrols named that. One in Australia, I think, and one in Washington State. So we weren't the only people. We didn't invent the idea.
Okay.
It was already existing. Now, the approach that Queer Nation had was to be very, I wouldn't say democratic. It's almost, they were purposely disorganized. And they carried that over into the patrol. But the problem was that led to some infighting and the usual personalities and blah, blah, blah.
There was no central head to it.
So it kind of fell apart. Then a winter happened. Not much happened during the winter because cold weather tends to suppress that kind of activity. And then myself and a lesbian by the name of Connie, we got together. And we sort of reformed the patrol. And it was up and down, as these organizations tend to go. Lacking, we originally tried to follow the form that Queer Nation had done. And that wasn't working. So eventually we said, okay, we've got to put some organization on this. And especially considering the kind of work that we were doing, it really called for a more of a hierarchical kind of organization. There had to be accountability and authority, even though I hate using those kind of terms. Because Q Patrol, the whole idea behind it was we were to be non-interventionist, unlike the Guardian Angels. We were not to interfere or intervene in any way. We were there strictly to be the eyes and ears of the police, and to be a visible deterrent. And I'll talk about how we did that. But I wanted to make it very clear to HPD, because of the problems that previous patrol organizations had, I wanted to make it very clear to HPD, and we met with them. And I said, this is the line, and we're not going to cross it. We will watch, we will report, we'll be a visible deterrent, but we will not intercede.
How did they accept that?
They liked that.
Okay.
They were glad to know that we had an organization and some principles and some accountability, and that we were going to stick to our principles on that. Because, as I said in one of the presentation slides that I made at the time, the police can act only after the fact. So they can come in when something has happened and somebody's reported something. We acted before the fact. We tried to prevent stuff from happening. So,
how do you prevent something from happening without being interventionist?
Right. So the main thing is to be a visible deterrent.
Okay.
And the way that we did that was the first Q Patrol had magnetic signs that they put on their vehicles. So it was basically a citizen's watch patrol. So just the fact that they're out there watching, as extra set of eyes for the police, is a deterrent. But then I played around in Harvard graphics, and I came up with this cute little logo that was like a big Q, and where the little curly part comes off the Q, I added a straight line and made it into a lambda, which is the lambda is the signal, the symbol for homosexuality. And also, if you look at it, it kind of looks like two legs walking, because we had foot patrols. So
it
fit on many levels. So we had magnetic signs, reflective. We had them professionally made that our patrol vehicles put on the doors and on the back that indicated that we were Q Patrol. And, of course, when you have something out there every weekend operating, word gets out. People started to recognize that, yeah, there's a deterrent presence there. And the rules of engagement that we had, if you like, and again, that's a military term, and I was very strict with the way that we put this thing together, that we were not military and not police.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was we also had T-shirts with the big Q on it and the Q Patrol. And so everybody out on foot patrol had to wear these T-shirts as well, the uniform T-shirt, just to be more visible. And so the idea is somebody coming into the neighborhood wanting to disrupt or do something wrong or cause some trouble would see one of these, see a foot patrol with the uniform T-shirts, see a vehicle, you know, with the magnetic signs on the sides, and recognize that eyes are watching. And we would back that up with sort of the informal equivalent of a ticket.
Okay.
In other words, I wrote a database to track vehicle license plate numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that anybody on patrol saw something, they would radio it to all the others.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had a little pad, and they would write down the vehicle description, the license plate number, the date, time, all that sort of thing. And, of course, we would collect those at the end of the patrol. If a vehicle was involved in causing some overt kind of problems, we could immediately report it to the police, because at least one of the vehicles had a cell phone, which was kind of new back then.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if the database showed that a vehicle showed up more than once and they were doing things like yelling fag or whatever, what we could do is we had this little pink cards printed up, little 4x5 cards, and said, your vehicle was observed, you know, at this time in the state doing this. But if you or your son or daughter is genuinely interested in the gay and lesbian lifestyle, mm-hmm. please contact us.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
yeah.
You handled both sides of it.
Yeah, yeah. And so if it got to the point where we had to send one of those out, we never saw that vehicle again.
Ah, okay.
Because you can imagine the parents
mm-hmm.
thought the kids were at the library or the
yeah.
movies, and they get this in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to interrupt you when you was giving more of the history of how
sure.
what led to the organization, but I do want to ask, when did you come into Houston? When did you get to Houston in the mix of all those organizations starting that led to this?
Ooh, well, I started in my job in Houston, so I moved to Houston in 1988, and so that means that the interview that I did with Curtis Sliwa would have been 1987 or 86.
Mm-hmm.
And then Q Patrol itself, its first formation was probably around 1990-91.
Mm-hmm.
And we quickly realized that we needed a formal organization and we needed 501c3 status so we could do fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the problems that we ran into right away is we were trying to use CB radios for communication.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not working out well. I found something in my notes that said that we were spending half of every patrol just trying to iron out problems with the radios.
Oh, okay.
So, one time, you had a question?
Oh, I just want to, okay. Anybody that's just tuning in, this is Matthew Williams with Queer Voices, and I'm interviewing also with Queer Voices, Glenn Holt. So, but go ahead.
Okay, so, one time, fairly early on in all of this, Q Patrol was invited to help out with, I think it was an AIDS walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because we all had experience with how to do radios and public events. So they gave us these fantastic radios that were called trunking radios, but they were just super radios. They worked mm-hmm. like cell phones. And we thought, wow, this is the deal. You know, we have to get these. For safety, if nothing mm-hmm. else. The problem is those things cost $1,000 each, and then you had to subscribe to the service, you know. So we had to do some serious fundraising, which meant we had to get serious about getting organized.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of people helping us in the community. A lot of the bar owners, the businesses, they really chipped in, helped us with just outright grants of money, letting us to do certain events, helping us, letting us store our stuff on their property, letting us have meetings on their property, that sort of thing. We had a local lawyer who helped us with get incorporated. We had a local CPA who helped out a lot and got us our 501c3 status with the IRS. And then when we were doing that, helping out with the AIDS walk that I was talking about, mm-hmm. that's when I came across the idea of what we ended up calling the CPL, the Certified Patrol Leader, because we had a whole bunch of people there from Q Patrol. Some of them were experienced, some weren't, and we had a box of radios. And I just kind of looked around and I said, okay, here, we're going to divide up into teams of two. And I handed a radio to every experienced person and I said, you're patrol leader, you're patrol leader, you're patrol leader. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about that afterwards in one of our board meetings. You know, that worked out really well. So let's carry that over into our regular patrols. And so that's where the idea of a certified patrol leader came from. And then so the board would look at people who have at least 6 months of experience and have followed the rules well, fit in well, carry the mission well. And we would certify them to be patrol leaders. And then we thought, okay, well, now we're going to end up with multiple patrol leaders per patrol. And that can cause chaos. So we came up with the idea of the duty CPL, which is the CPL overall in charge mm-hmm. for the night. And so that way you didn't have to have me or Connie out on every patrol to lead everything.
A much better structure than before.
Yes, much better structure, and it worked much better. And my intention all along with all of this was, one, not to be military, to use military terms, so that we wouldn't give the impression to the police that we were trying to be in any way like the Guardian Angels. And also that we would only exist for as long as the problem existed, and then we would go away. Mm. Because so many organizations seem to be self-promoting, self-propagating. And it was always my intention that once things died down, once everything sort of got under control, we would just pack it up, pickle all the information, and go away. And if the same problems ever came up again, we could take everything out of wraps and start it all up again.
That's interesting. I think we're actually towards the end of the interview. Last thing I want to ask real quick, how quickly did you see? Well, you said you were ready to pack it up whenever it was done, and it is gone now. So I'm assuming you got to the result that y'all wanted to get to.
Right. Fairly quickly, actually.
Yeah, that's how I was going to ask the question. How were the results from doing all that y'all have done?
It only took a few months. It was surprising. Initially, we had a big turnout. We had 2 or 3 foot units and 2 or 3 mobile units out every night. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean every night of the week, but I'm talking about every Saturday night.
Yeah.
Sometimes on Friday night as well. And that very quickly suppressed the problem. Mm-hmm. And once it did, once there was no quote-unquote action out on patrol, then people lost interest. They didn't want to come out. And we were trying everything else we could think of to keep people interested. But as I sort of predicted and intended, it just started to fade away. And so I was ready to pack it up. But then Chris came along and he said, well, no, I want to keep doing it as a Citizens Watch Patrol, which the Citizens Watch Patrols are sanctioned by the police department. And Q Patrol actually was part of that, but we were a lot different from any other Houston mm-hmm. Citizens Watch Patrol for a number of reasons.
Well, I want to thank you very much for coming to talk to me about this. I didn't know about this organization. I found out about it at going to the funeral service for Ray Hill and then wanted to look more into it. And lo and behold, I was right next to somebody that was a part of the founding of it. So I want to thank you again for giving us all this great information, especially for the younger gays who know nothing about this. Maybe we know what to do next time we have issues in the community. So I just want to say thank you again. I am Matthew Williams interviewing Glenn Holt, and this is Queer Voices.